Now, here's Dave Pezzo on KITO Talk Radio.
And joined by the non-candidate, our great friend Dave Pezzo, the host of Money Matters on KITO Talk Radio. You know, we missed you on Saturday, but the crew there, I had a chance, actually, one of the rare days I was in, and bumped into them. They were here early.
Yes, they were.
Like you.
They were here early.
They were very eager and ready to go. We missed Dave Pezzo, but I wanted to let you know they did a great job.
Well, thank you for that. Good. I can't wait to hear.
I was listening again and again and again. You know, it's interesting. We're going to talk a little bit about what the State House is doing, and we're going to try not to, you know, regurgitate what you talked about on Channel 7. Again, great folks there, but we want to have unique and compelling
fresh
content here. Yes. When people think of Kevin Miller, they think of Fred.
That's what I think all the time.
Boy, where's the defibrillator? Are we facing a crisis here in the state of Idaho because we're too good to be true? And the reason why I say this is California, it just came out that they're one of the richest states, but they're also one of the poorest states. We had a young lady who is beloved in San Francisco, Melanie Morgan from KSFO Radio, who does some stuff nationally. All her friends are moving to Idaho. She was on Zillow or Realtor.com looking at places in Eagle. Are we on the verge of having a huge influx of people from California coming to Idaho? And if so, will they find, I mean, compared to California, obviously the lifestyle is 1,000% better when we're talking business and regulations, but can any state be prepared for that?
I don't think so, Kevin. I think you bring up a really good point. Is it crisis? Well, it could become, in a sense. And if you will, it's a first world problem that so many people want to come live where you are, and it generates so much wealth that that becomes a problem. But the reality is that it, the reason we love Boise so much is that it's not so crowded. It's not so busy. You can go to the park and not basically be walking in a line of people. There are a number of reasons we love this community, and going and disappearing into the foothills, if you can't disappear anymore, it's not the same feeling, is it? You're up there with a zillion other people. It is a bit of a problem, but it is nothing we can stop because the state of California has completely lost its mind, but that's not new. People have been moving here for 20 years. I just think it's accelerating now. And part of that, I think, is the mobility of jobs. You don't have to be in a certain spot to do your work from a computer. And I think that's just going to accelerate, Kevin. So, yeah, I'm afraid our lifestyle, we've been discovered and people are moving here in droves.
Well, I will say this, and even, you know, past the beloved city of Boise, but, you know, you take a look at, you know, out in the hinterland, the smallest city in Ada County, Star, you know, where I reside, we've got houses, you know, building into my subdivision and such, and it used to be a pretty recluse place, and it's just going on and on. For, you know, to a degree, that's great, and you've always said that this one day this will be another Denver.
Yeah.
And I met a guy who lived in Denver. He's from Arkansas, a great guy, and he didn't like Denver.
No, I don't like Denver either. I'm just saying it's an unfortunate destiny of more and more people alive in the world, right? And they want to be congregating in beautiful places, and Boise is one of those beautiful places. So is Northern Idaho. It's exploding as well.
So how, if can any state or city government deal with this? We see the explosion in Meridian. We see it in Napa. We see it everywhere here in the Treasure Valley. I mean, is it impact fees? And for people that aren't familiar with impact fees, if you could, you know, just give us a brief synopsis of those at KIDO Talk Radio.
Sure.
I mean, it's been discussed in Napa. It's been discussed other places. People in the West Ada School District are frustrated because the taxes are going up again. Well, because we've got this historic population growth fueled a lot by migration.
We are. And, of course, it looks great to the local politicians because, you know, they can put up new parks and new pretty things. But the reality is, again, as we talked, it changes our lifestyle. But as far as what impact fees are, they charge them to developers to because of the they need to put in new roads and sewer electrical, all those things that have an impact to all of the areas around. But you think about that, it's not just the road right in front of that subdivision. It's the roads all the way back, because the population that's coming to that subdivision has to be fixed. And that's where the impact fees come into place. I think most people understand that the developers have to put in their own roads and electrical and sewer and all that at that spot. But when we need more capacity at the sewage plant, we need more capacity on the roads. All of those things impact the rest of us that are already have, quotes, paid the impact fees. Let's not pretend that the developers pay it. They don't. The individuals buying the homes do.
Would that be a way to pay for all this stuff?
It is, and that's what they do. But most of the time, you know, as we know, it doesn't matter if we're pretty good at business. Government still is terrible at business and terrible at making decisions. And so whatever
it is. You're a big fan of government.
Huge of government, yeah. If I want to see a dollar disintegrate, if I want to watch all my personal liberties taken away, I am a big fan. That's what more government does all the time. And yes, of course we need rules and regulations, but there is such a large bureaucracy surrounding all of this that we do spend an awful lot of those impact fees that have nothing to do with widening the roads. They have everything to do with the giant bureaucracy that has been created.
Dave Pezzo joining us here at KIDO Talk Radio. So before we get back to some of these local issues, I do want to get your take on the government. By the way, Dave will take your calls at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. But I want to get your thoughts on this looming government shutdown. I'm sure that you are fearful that the government would shut down, being that you're such a big fan of government.
Well, it obviously would be a negative impact to both the stock market, the momentum of the economy in this administration right now. And so, no, I'm sure that the Democrats would like to shut it down. I don't think they're going to be able to. I think that the Republicans will bind together and get this resolution passed. And I really do think it will continue on, because right now the Republicans always get blamed. You and I have talked about this endlessly, right? It does not make any difference if all the Democrats stood up and just said, no, we can't vote for this. They would still somehow, that would be blamed on the Republicans. So until that changes, and someday it might, I think you just have to, if as the Republicans are, you have to go ahead and just not let it shut down. So I think they won't.
Moving along with Dave Pezzo here at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's hit you with this one. The stock market poised to go to 26,000 if it hasn't already. I mean, we're talking, what, in 7 days, up 1,000 points or something ridiculous like that?
Yep.
Are we, again, going too high here? Are we looking for a correction?
I'm always looking for a correction, Kevin, because we get one 10% or greater correction per year on average. We haven't had one for a while. But to sit around and wait for what is inevitable is crazy. And this has kept people out of the market. It's really something to think about this simple fact. From 2008, we have watched the market go up more than 300%, and we've watched more money by the average investor taken out of the market. It makes no sense at all. It's been a complete whiff for the average person out there. They've completely missed this. And one of the things that people miss all the time in the market is the fact that you have to be in it to win. And that includes being in it when the market has its normal, periodic, certain to occur over and over again, all the days of our lives, market corrections. They happen. And people have been calling for it for thousands of points. And I'm not going to tell you that it's not going to happen. I'll tell you it will happen. We never know when. Will it be another couple thousand points from here or not? And when we talk about bubbles and all that nonsense that people have to come up with because they can't come up with anything new, and we're talking about the bubble in 2000, or is this the real estate bubble of 06 and 07? And the answer is no. And the fact that the market's moving higher, it should. We just re-rated these companies with lower tax rates, and therefore, they should be selling at much higher prices, and they are.
Dave Pezzo joining us here at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. But again, what goes up must come down, right?
No, it does not. And we've talked about that for years. What goes up comes back a little and then goes to all-time highs. Pulls back periodically, back to all-time highs. And all-time meaning it does not come all the way back down, and it goes higher, higher highs and higher lows.
Dave Pezzo joining us as we continue on. Phone numbers we've given you. Also, you can get us at Kevin at KIDOTalkRadio.com. So all these folks coming in from California or other states, not only California, but we're hearing now that people are moving to the Southeast, which they have for years, but also the Mountain West because of the low taxation. And the state's kind of dealing with that. We'll get to that in a minute. But all these, do you expect more people, let's say, from New York and other, you know, maybe even Connecticut or Delaware is what I was saying, these heavy tax states to start moving because of the new Trump tax reform?
I do. I think that's finally going to be this is a huge dagger to the Democrats and the extreme high tax blue states that will not get their costs under control. They continue to buy votes from unions and school teachers. Sure. So that's their whole MO. And so what they've done is they've continued to dole out more than they could and have to raise taxes later. And so far they've been being bailed out by the federal government on the high end because people can write off, let's call it a 40% tax break at that point if you're in the highest federal tax bracket. But now you can't write them off, and I think people will continue. But, Kevin, that's not new. This is not new at all. Jersey has had a huge outflow. Not too long ago on Money Matters, I was talking about the inflow and the outflow of tax revenue from in state to state, like you're talking about Delaware and Jersey and all, and how much Florida was picking up as an example. But we're talking about billions of dollars annually that have been lost in these, let's go ahead and tax the rich. And as if, again, the rich are not even as smart as an amoeba, because remember, an amoeba, if you poke it, it will move. And we act like the taxpayers will not do anything no matter how many times you poke them. And that's crazy.
Well, and that's what, again, I don't know if we're set up for this when we're talking about this. I don't know if we're set up to handle this great inflow.
Well, Kevin, it's a good point, but our inflow is not a tax inflow. Idaho is one of the highest tax states in the country. It doesn't quite approach on the high end California. But the reality is we're not low, and we get to the highest tax bracket, which is 8%. We get to there very, very quickly on not a high income. So it's not – if you're looking for just taxes, Idaho's not it.
More with Dave Pezzo next. You're listening to KIDO Talk Radio. KIDO Talk Radio, Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's get to the phones with our great friend Dave Pezzo. Mark and Eagle joins us now. Mark, good morning.
Hey, Kevin. Good morning, Dave. Hey, morning. I'm out here in Star again, so for some unknown reason, I'm out here on my cell phone. It doesn't work too well out here in your stomping grounds, Kevin. But I had a question for you guys regarding, first off, before I get to my question I was going to ask, is, Dave, you had mentioned about if the average investor is not investing in the stock market, who's buying into it? Other corporations buying their own stock back and shoving up the value of the stock market. That was the first question I had, and then I want to get my main question. So if you answer that quickly, then I'll ask my main question.
Sure. Real fast, of course, you're right. There is a lot of corporate stock has been bought back by the company, so there is a shortage. The second part of that is there's not a lot of new IPOs. It's been because of all the regulations that are out there. When you go public, a lot of companies have chosen to stay private when in the old days they launched IPOs. So we're seeing less of that. We also saw a lot less business creation under Obama, and so I think you're going to see more in down the road because that should be incubating, but we didn't have as many incubators. Finally, you have 401k money coming in. That's pretty regular all the time. And yes, that would be your average person. But what I'm saying is that we only have a little over 50% of the people that are participating in the greatest wealth creator ever, and it was historically. It's not just now, and so we just can't seem to learn that. And it should be 100% of the people investing, right? Because of the great wealth creation, it has been. It's just disappointing that so much money has come out of the market and missed this, all based on fear of another 2008 coming.
Okay, well, thanks for answering that one. Now, my main question, sir, is this: okay, when Trump's tax plan went through, we discovered that state's going to get almost $100 million out of a state Idaho or Idaho, you know, tax payers here in the state of Idaho. Now, my question is, there's been talk about trying to repeal the food tax. Does anybody know the estimates at present, last few years, at 6% on the dollar for your taxes on foods? What that comes out as revenue for the state of Idaho? Because where I'm going with this is, if they can't agree to do away with the food tax here, since our state taxes are as high as they are, why not our legislator and the governor readjust that $100 million that the state would get under the current Trump tax plan that supposedly reduced the federal taxes, but they get some of that back in the coffers here in the state, and either reduce the sales tax down to a more, acceptable level to absorb that $100 million that the state would get. What's your thoughts on that? And I'll let you go.
All right, Mark, we appreciate that.
I don't know that the state is getting the money. I think that the estimate is that the $100 million will be you and I. We're all getting a collective tax cut of $100 million, but that's not coming to the state, so they could then use more budget, or they could use that in their budget. But so I don't think that's going to have an impact regarding how we could or couldn't get this grocery tax taken care of. Now, as far as that goes, I don't know what the numbers are, Kevin. I don't. Do you? I haven't seen them. I know we will in the argument. How much we're losing has got to be offset. So that's certainly a number that's available. I guess we need to ask Google, huh?
Well, I agree with you to an extent, but I mean, we could go on and on about numbers and everything in the grocery tax. And again, that's been debated year in and year out. But let's switch over gears to the businesses. We've got a new bill that is looking to provide tax relief, which you've talked about. And again, like I said, when we're from our friends at Channel 7 here, from our, how business friendly we're going to be, the idea of, if it's passed, could reduce for most employers their unemployment taxes by an additional 30% over the course of the next 3 years. You'd save about $115 million with the same time frame. Our friend Matt Erpelding, House Minority Leader, it's going to put more money into the hands of businesses. Your thoughts?
Anytime you can do that is attractive to business. And remember, we all work for a business, a small business of some kind, whether it's your own or you are an employee. These small businesses are the lifeblood of all of the job creation. And certainly in a state like Idaho, it is. As we see the bigger employers, the HPs continue to cut back and cut back and cut back until they're almost not talked about anymore as being part of this valley. So it is small business. It's the arise. And you've talked about this, Kevin, of all these little incubators out there that are doing amazing things globally, actually quite global, in small businesses of 20 or 50 or 100 people. And that's what's driving the job market. So anything that brings some relief, some regulatory relief in particular, but tax relief as well, is very, very attractive to small business, and that's why they want to locate here.
Well, and we're talking about the unemployment fund, I believe, is now overfunded. It's about $780 million in it. Now, before, the state of Idaho had to actually borrow money from the federal government during the bad times. Pay that.
Yeah, and it shows you how strong the job market has been, and it has been very slow to react to cutting those premiums down.
Maybe they should wait till they get to a billion.
Is that the magic number?
I don't know. Maybe it is. Back to Dave Pezzo. So in our final few seconds here together, what should we be looking out for this week?
It's earnings. We're getting back into earnings season, Kevin, and we saw a big rally on Friday. There's two things I would look for here, and that is just this continued rush of trying to get money into this market. People have blown it. They missed it. And this isn't just on the quotes, little guy pulling out like we were discussing earlier. This is also hedge funds and all that have been misappropriating and been incorrectly negative on the market, sometimes because of politics. But the reality is they didn't see this coming, and they are trying to rush to catch up. And so we're seeing some of that money rush in. But with earnings being predicted to be very good and the outlook to be very strong, I would be focusing on earnings the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Dave Pezzo joining us here as we take a look at other things. Finally, China used to be the hot place to go You think India is the next place?
I do. I've always thought that India, being the world's largest democracy, would be the company that was able to country that would be able to sustain that type of growth. They have many problems there, of course. It's we all know about the poverty there, but the caste system that they have is having to be dismantled. It's been very, very difficult. There's a lot of corruption, as there is in any third world country, but at least there is a voting bloc, and democracy and freedom is a very important thing, and there is a good work ethic in India as well. So, again, I would look for the continued rise of India. They've got a very strong capitalist government right now, and it is really doing a lot to try to remove some of the, if you will, the corruption barriers to growth.
Dave Pezzo, Money Matters. Anything else coming up this week?
Nope. It's all about earnings. It's all about that money flow. And it's all about finding some kind of cheap stock. And it is harder to do than it used to be.
You heard it here first from our friend Dave Pezzo. Kevin Miller, KIDO Talk Radio.
Hello, good morning, and welcome. More record highs. That's right. Market up to record highs again. You know, I'm going to talk about this coming up. We're actually going to, I'm going to cut an hour and talk about equity indexed annuities and how fear sells. I'm going to talk about that coming up. But I wanted to touch on it because it just reminded me of that this week again. We had another new client come in with another one of these things that they can't get money out of for nearly another decade, where the commissions were super high. And we've gone through this raging bull market, and they haven't even made 3%. And yet we still continue to hear all these commercials, right? Yeah, you don't want to take a chance on the Wall Street casino. No. No, in other words, you don't want to make any money, do you? You want to make sure you're out of the market, right? Astounding. I mean, the idea that you get to participate in the upside of the market, but you don't have any risk on the downside. I mean, we all know common sense is that that can't be true. It isn't true. Otherwise, here's what would happen. Warren Buffett, all the CFPs out there, people like me, we'd all go, hey, we need to have that. We'll put our personal billions of dollars into this. Nobody does. Isn't that weird? Doesn't that strike anybody like all by itself like, wow, that is really weird. So I get upside the market, no risk, and the people at Goldman Sachs won't touch it. Warren Buffett won't touch it. Certified financial planners won't touch it. Only insurance agents, and I don't mean all agents. Most agents are not really that bad. They don't pretend things do things they don't do. But again, the math is just unbelievable. I don't know how we continue to go through this except for one simple thing. Fear. And it brings me back all the time to want to talk about this and understand this. Why? What are we afraid of? A sudden, however temporary, however certain to occur, however normal, completely normal market correction. We've decided that when that happens, we need to overreact. We need to be extremely fearful of something like that happening. Why? They happen all the time. They've happened forever. And then the market goes to all-time highs. It's not something you can time, and it's certainly not something you can, you know, participate in the upside, but not have any of that bad down thing. No, you can't. But even in your heart of hearts, you know nothing about finance. Nothing. You don't even know what stocks are. You know nothing.
You know that's not true. But we want to believe that you don't have to take risk. What is risk? What is risk? Must we define risk as a price movement? Or would risk be that you ran out of money before you ran out of life? Hmm? Is risk being out of something that's created the most wealth in all of history because we're afraid of absolutely certain to occur over and over again all the days of our lives, temporary price corrections? But that's how I have now defined all risk in my portfolio, is price movement. That's the genius of the marketing criminals. Because in my mind, it is criminal to tie money up forever, to lie about the upside potential when there's not, to take 10 and higher percent commissions, trapping people in the product so when they finally understand 3 or 4 years down the road that they get no participation on the upside, that this can't work. They come to their senses. They can't get out. They're trapped. I saw one the other day was 6 years into it. They still can't get all their money out. Can you imagine that? In a raging bull market where you theoretically participate on the upside, you still can't get your money out. And the theoretical rate of return was less than 3%. Oh yeah, by the way, FYI, the market did 15 per year. More than 2x the amount of money you have. More than 2x what theoretically is in this trapped equity indexed annuity contract. Now, I'll break all the numbers down. But it happens. Like, it's so weird. It's like happening day after day. People come in. Yeah, I've got one of these. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry because you can't get out. We can't fix it. It's not like a bad thing that now we can reallocate somewhere else. We can't. You know, and so when people go off to, a dinner seminar about something, I'm just going to get some information. No, you're not. You are not. You're going to get a one-sided commentary. And they don't have to have full disclosure. I know you don't. I know it's hard to believe, but the Department of Insurance, State of Idaho, has decided that full disclosure is not necessary. That you can say whatever you want to say as long as you don't have other licenses, as long as you're not like a certified financial planner, as long as you don't have securities licenses, because they all require full disclosure. But if you only carry an insurance license, it's license to say whatever you want. I think it's really probably, subchapter 30 in the Department of Insurance Code that simply says, hey, by the way, if you have this license, you can say whatever you want. You don't have to disclose anything. I'm not sure if that's printed that way. But they don't do anything about it. So we're all on our own. That's why we talk about it so much. You're on your own. The people you're helping, the old lady across the street, your grandpa, he just wants to make sure this money is safe for his family. He doesn't even need it. And some nice guy. And I think, I think he also, and they do this all the time, right? They prey on church people. They do. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for writing the check. They do it all the time. It's called affinity crime. It's not okay to go to these seminars. We're going to break this down more. But again, when I see this day after day after day, it's just one of those things I go, my gosh, this is an epidemic. It's an epidemic of fear. And it leads people down the wrong road. And we can't undo it, right? Because they're trapped with decades long and sometimes longer surrender charges. So when we discover, oops, we can't fix it. We can't fix it. And I can't make the Department of Insurance do their job. I can't. But you can. They know how people like me feel. They just won't do anything. They won't change the law. They won't do anything. Because these things are person after person, the same person all the time. Same people. And yes, they know how the contracts work. They absolutely do. I'd love to feel that way too, right? That no, they just don't really know. Yeah, they do. They know. They absolutely know. And they pitch these products anyway. If you've seen it, if you don't like what you've seen, complain to the Department of Insurance, will you? Ask them why they won't do anything about it. Ask them why. Why won't they change this? Why do they let people not disclose the reality of these contracts? Why do they let people say, oh, don't, they don't really pay any commission? You can't do that if you have any other license. None. In other words, if you have very little licensing, the dead minimum, that's how you get away with not disclosing. Does this make sense to anybody? I don't know what they do over there, except license and charge people stuff, and that's it. I don't have any idea what enforcement the Department of Insurance actually does when we don't protect the most vulnerable, the seniors. People that just don't, are not up on things like they were. They're fearful of losing everything. When people get old and they don't have their strength, they aren't earning money anymore. They're not the captains of industry. They get fearful. It's a fact of life. My health is failing. This is failing. All those things. We get fearful. And we cling to promises that really aren't real. Those are the people that need the most protection. And they do nothing. Nothing. All right, I'm ranting. I'm stopping. I'm stopping now. We're going to talk about all-time highs in the market. We're going to talk about all this stuff. I mean, it's amazing. Corporations, can you believe what Apple did this week? Is that amazing? It's astounding. And think about the multiplier effect. This is incredible. And this is a dawn of a new era. And it is. Doesn't mean the market's going to go up, not at all, but a dawn of a new era in America, a reasonable corporate tax. Incredible. It is just the beginning. Our number, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's also Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Love to hear from you. What a great job. I listened yesterday. I got a chance to listen to Jennifer Stone and Tom Brown. I thought they did a great job of running through some of the basics in long-term investing and why you have to stay in the market. Appreciate the different perspective, and I appreciate them. Not to make this personal, but it was the most interesting weekend to me to literally be away from cell coverage. Couldn't have done the radio show if I wanted to. It was in a cabin north of Sun Valley, and they just didn't have any reception up there. So I guess I could have driven in to catch them. But fantastic, and just getting up in that snow, and it was just a wonderful experience. Just did climbing the hills and spending time with a wonderful lady. It was just a fantastic weekend and a couple of great friends. So we just had a great time, and it reminds me so much of why we love Idaho so much. I mean, you just saw so many people out and about, and it's not crowded up in the wilderness area. It's not. But when you go up and through Stanley and you see all these snowmobilers and all these snowshoers and skaters, it's just, wow. People really get out and get into –
this great area. It's so fantastic. Anyway, Jen and Tom, thank you so much. I appreciate it. It was a great weekend. And I hope you, I know you did, because I got to talk to you afterwards. It's really fun to share whatever it is that's on your heart. And so thank you for doing that. Appreciate it. I'm going to take off a little bit on what they talked about in the second hour. I'm going to talk about why, again, back to this fear thing that I'm really enraged about. But it's not, I'm not enraged because people are fearful. I want to help them understand why it's actually, it's not rational. It's just not rational. And I'm not being mean. I'm not saying you're a crazy person, but we have been driven, and many people are more fearful than others about things that don't make sense. I mean, I have a good friend of mine that for years and years and years and years, she wouldn't travel. She loves to travel, but she had to only drive because she was afraid of flying. And it doesn't matter how you start listing out all the things that you have to do. You know, I mean, you're more likely to get run over crossing the street than falling out of the sky. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. And she just had the hardest time. Anyway, she started to fly. She said, you know what? I'm going to do it. She did it. She doesn't, and she no longer needs Valium. Okay? She's just fine. She loves it. It's freedom. It's freedom. And when we get rid of irrational fears, and sometimes you have to just jump in and do it, it's a freeing experience. But when you think about how much wealth has been lost by not participating in that scary stock market, it's sad, because it has affected, if you will, the financial security of millions of families. Because dad or mom or both have decided that when QE ends, or whatever they're reading, whatever blog they're on, whenever all this happens, the world's coming to an end. And I know that Warren Buffett and others, many others, all the greats, 100% of them, have said, you can't time the market. You know, but I got this. And they don't see that as being an irrational behavior. Like, I'm smarter than Warren Buffett. He can't time the market. John Templeton, he can't do it. Michael Price, he can't do it. But I can. Is a world we live in fear, or we're continuing to dig into the same negativity, the same negative blog. And you see that fear that we're talking about here. That fear is something that just permeates ongoing. Once we get it, and so trying to get loose of it is a very difficult thing. Now, what do I mean by that? How many times have I had a nickel for every time I heard about the market's too high? Over the last thousands of points, but particularly loud now. Right? If I had a nickel for every time what goes up must come down. This goes on and on. And so I'm hoping, I'm going to make my case as to why the only rational behavior is to buy and own and stop trading the greatest corporations in the world. I know that's what Jen and Tom did. I'm just going to add to it. They did a great job laying it out. I'm just going to give them an amen. This is really important. It isn't just, I want to make a buck or two more. It's critically important. We're going to talk about it. Now, before we get to the top of the hour, let's not miss this gigantic thing that happened with one company. Oh, it's a big company, but it's one company. Apple. What one company did this past week, because, and only because of tax reform and the repatriation, decided that what they wanted to do was to pay into the treasury $38 billion, rounding error, $38 billion into the treasury one time, not including ongoing taxes. This is just to bring the money back to the United States. And they want to invest, over the next 5 years, $350
billion dollars more. One company. $350 billion. That's into the economy. There's nothing to do with, for those of you who have decided, it's all about stock buybacks and they're going to bring back the money and just raise dividends. Yeah, that would be the world's worst thing. I can't even imagine how horrifying it would be if the stock market kept going higher and dividends increased to all pensioners, pension funds, and you and I as stockholders. What a horror show that would be. I can't even imagine. Wow, those devils of CEOs. Man, horrifying. Isn't that weird that that's what people keep talking about? But it isn't true. This is $350 billion. Doesn't talk about a stock buyback. Doesn't talk about dividends. Oh, those will go up. But that's $350 billion. To give you context, because we throw around billions and trillions like it's nothing. Remember the Marshall Plan, World War II? The Marshall Plan. United States of America, greatest country on earth. Unbelievably gave in today's dollars. Are you ready? Today's dollars. $140 billion to Europe to rebuild. Just a gift. Generous country we live in, isn't it? Back then and today. $140 billion. One company, Apple, $350 billion. That does not include the multiplier effect. It does not include the other 499 only in the S&P 500. This is big. This is really, really big. Okay, we'll be back for hour number two of Money Matters right after the news. Hello, welcome to hour number two of Money Matters. I'm Dave Pezzo, and of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only. Not this station, not a broker-dealer. They're really just my opinions. I try to do my best to think through things and make sure that these are not just some biased opinion, but thoughtful. And most importantly, what I want to try to bring, and really both to both of us, right? Because guess what? Teachers learn more than students do. They do, right? Because we have to think about it a lot. We have to grind through it and think and think and think. Hopefully, what we're bringing is a different take on the financial news. What do we do? How do we behave correctly? How do we react? Okay? That's what we're here to do. Not to talk about, I'm going to talk about Apple. I talked about Apple in the last hour, right? Because, wow, what they did this past week. It's unbelievable. The economic impact of one company. Because Washington, D.C. got out of the way. I mean, honestly, I've just spent the week going, wow, think about this. Think about this, what this can mean. If we can just continue this trajectory for a couple more years, if somehow, for example, we can get through the midterm elections, giving this economy enough time to explode, we may reach a point where we don't go back to oppressive government regulation, taxes, and really, really smart people that need to tell me how to live my life, how to run my business. Because it'll be so big, there is no going back. It's loud, it's messy, but this is unbelievable what one company did. Far larger in today's dollars, than the Marshall Plan, which was a pretty big deal. Pretty big deal. I'll get back to this. Right now, let's go ahead and talk to a phone caller because we love phone callers. And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. Jim, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Dave.
Hey there.
Jim here. How you doing?
Good, good. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Good.
Enjoy Jennifer and Tom.
Good.
I
did, too.
As I usually do.
Yes, they're great.
So there's not
do you know what? Also, they are great human beings, and I'm not kidding.
Well, when you first mentioned and indicating you were going to be gone, you only mentioned Jennifer, and I'm thinking, what did he do with Tom? So,
Well, Tom hadn't, that was my bad. See, Tom had not been available for the last couple of times, so Jen did it all by herself. And so I guess I got into that mode and didn't even think about it.
Well, she did good then because she'd have ladies come in, you know, talking about real estate or whatever, you know.
Exactly.
So, anyway, the only thing I was going to say is I was kind of harp on what one thing that Jennifer and Tom were talking about was simplify your life. You know, look at your life and see if there's a bunch of junk and crap that you don't need, probably don't want, you know. Do you, I mean, apparently you don't have cable, you know, neither do I. Do you have cable or dish with 500 channels and you realize you don't use 495 of them?
Well,
you know.
Yeah, right. No, it also is one of those things that takes your time. Is this what you want to do with your life? Because you can't have that time back.
Well, you know, life is, now I'm an old curmudgeon, most assuredly, but life is getting more and more complicated.
It's good to know yourself, Jim.
Huh?
It's good to know thyself.
Well, I thank God I came along before there were computers, and I know how to simplify my life. And, of course, see, I don't need to be in society necessarily. I mean, I'm not working and all this kind of thing, so I don't have to do it. So, but I've also started riding a bicycle. I've gotten addicted to the bicycle. Mm-hmm. There are so many benefits. You avoid traffic. You avoid, expenses.
Drive down the middle of Hill Road, okay? I mean, that's just mean.
Well, it's great. But anyway, and as far as Apple goes, now I'm a great believer in Johnny Appleseed and the fruit apple. But I would advise people, if you're going to have anything to do with Apple, don't buy their product. You've already got five or six of them. Buy their stock.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. It's been a winner, and it does pay a nice dividend and growing dividend, too. So
I don't know. And that's the only real reason I called in to, one thing, I do my year-end analysis, and I just love figures and all this kind of thing. So I've done an average, and I started investing in 2009, and maybe 10 to 12 stocks I buy a year. So I've done a total overall average, and my overall average has been a yearly increase of 18.23%.
So, that's awesome.
I'd say that's pretty good.
That's really, really good.
And my average is 21.3%. My advisor's average is 10%.
So. Uh-oh.
But anyway, I mean, Dave, I mean, see, that's a perfect example. When you were up in a cabin away from things, and even your cell phone didn't work, And the only thing you might need is a gun to fight off bears, but other than that,
They're hibernating, so it's okay.
Yes.
And I can take a bobcat. Well, I couldn't take a bobcat, but the bobcat doesn't know that.
Nature takes care of Dave.
All right, Jim. Thank you, sir.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Would love to hear from you. As the market rolls to all-time highs, and Austin, I'm going to go to a break early here because I want to have a nice long chunk to talk about this and kind of reversing the normal, if you will, monologue time. When we get into this circumstance where we're looking at the market rolling through all-time highs and we keep doing this, I want to share a story about a very smart young man as we head into this break, okay? The smart young man was looking at charts. Wasn't even on the same time frame. It was a condensed chart from somebody online who'd condensed it. I know he didn't do it. He's reading a blog. Decides that the market's going to crash like it did in 1987. And I mean, he's convinced. Convinced. We talk and talk and talk. He can't do it. He pulls out. Market keeps going higher and higher and higher. And then the discussion becomes, amazingly, well, before it crashes, I think it could go parabolic. So I want to put a little bit in and then I want to get ready to take it. I'm like, what are you talking about? We can't do that. I mean, what do you mean? We're going to put it all back in? No, not all. But I mean, he doesn't even know what. Doesn't even know what. Well, I don't want to be there. I want to be not correlated. Do we have some downside protection? No. We can put some stuff in. Very smart. Very, very smart. Genius smart. No joke. Extraordinarily capable guy. Reading charts. Not really reading charts. Stuck in a blog. Looking at a chart. He's still not in. When do you get in? You know what I mean? When do you get in? What's the trigger? And you look at him, and he's got big dark circles around his eyes. I'm not joking. I mean, sometimes I don't sleep well either, but come on. About worrying about a crash or whatever, or now I'm not out in the market, and I don't, oh my gosh, what we do to ourselves. I'm going to talk about that after this break. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Craig, I hope you'll call back. He's not. He can't. Doggone it. All right. Sorry about that, but I got to get through this. I wanted to. It's just important. It's really important, and I know calls always take priority. But when we are going through a time like this where here's a simple headline for you, okay? Since, this is from the Wall Street Journal. As Dow tops 25,000, individual investors sit it out. Okay, that's commentary, but here's the number. Since 2012, $1 trillion has been pulled from retail investor mutual funds that target U.S. funds, U.S. stocks. $1 trillion. Since 2012, remember when the market was overpriced at 15,000, 17, 18, 20 is a joke. 22, 4, 5, 6. And I don't tell these stories on people to make them feel bad or to say this is some isolated weird thing. It's not isolated to say I spent hours with this young man trying to go through some numbers and get some rational thought about not being able to time the market in the next crash. And how, why does it, why when you take a time frame and condense it to look like a chart that looks like another time, how that would be, is rational even. How is that rational? You manipulate a chart with a different time frame so that it looks like a chart from a different time frame. Not the same like 1 year period. We're going to take a 5 year period and squish it together. Look at that. How weird. It looks just like this chart for a 6 month period. You can do anything. He doesn't want to hear it. Why? I'm a really smart person. Why is it that $1 trillion, as the great corporations of the world, make more and more and more money? How is it that hedge fund managers, the smartest investors in the world, the ones that make, you know, that's a billionaire hedge fund manager, as if they're like, wow, that's a predictor of the great future. How is it that they missed? Because they did. How did Wall Street miss? They didn't. They didn't. They just missed because they were a little too cautious, but they weren't out. They didn't pull $1 trillion out. It's because there's a huge cottage industry out there selling fear. It's called the media. It's not just the media, because then all of a sudden I know everybody's going to go, oh yeah, right, I know, the media's negative, blah, blah, blah. I think I'll turn over to another news station and listen to some more financial pornography. I think I need to go get more information. I need to check my portfolio daily. Why? What does that have to do with anything? It doesn't. It leads us further from the truth. Honestly, it leads us further from the truth. How? How is information leading us further from the truth? The question is this. It's not information. Is this information accurate? In other words, is how if you are getting every day the truth, I think it's okay to read that. But how do we know why the market moves 20 points up or down? Even 100 points up or down? Here's the truth. We don't. But you cannot fill hours of monotonous TV without screeching and yelling about things like the bond 2-10 correlation. How the yield curve is getting inverted. Wait, hold on. We've got in 5, 4, 3, we're going to have the CPI number. Here we go. Ah. Oh, it looks like, well, so far, the market hasn't really reacted a lot to that. Hold on. Yep, we're seeing some movement in treasuries right now. My goodness, is that important information for my 30-year retirement? No. But then we get into it worse. We get into, and now we have a whole cottage industry of fear. Nobody in their right mind thinks you can have the upside of the market, even participation in the market, with no downside. Nobody thinks that. But millions of people have completely said, let me take my logical part of my brain and set it aside and put it over here. And then I'm going to have you tell me how I can participate in the market upside with no risk. And I want to tie up my money for 10 years that I can't get to it even after I realize I've really screwed up. I can't get out. Nobody does that thinking rationally. Nobody. They have to take their logical part of their brain, wrap it in intense fear. It's a giant casino. It's about to crash. Look at this chart. Have you seen the correlation of gold to oil to dollar? Oh my gosh, we're all going to die. Oh, that's a really smart person. He manages like $1 billion and all. I better listen. Oh no, what am I going to do? I know. I can get market participation with no risk. Yeah, I can do that. Let me take the logical part of my brain. I'm going to put it over here. And I'm going to believe that guy. And when he tells me he doesn't make any commission, it's really just because the company just pulls it out of the pocket. Don't worry about it. I want to believe that too. Because I want to believe anything. Because I'm wrapped in fear. Wrapped in fear. Now, I know you don't think that's you. You're rational. You're getting more information from the blogs. You're not looking at it irrationally at all. You've missed the market because of really good reasons. You've kept just a little aside because you're being extra conservative, thoughtful, intelligent. You've carefully kept money out since the Dow was at 10,000. That's because you're cautious and you're aware of all the problems in the world. You read a lot. We've got to be careful about being clever by half. I'm not putting it down. Let's learn. None of us walk through life without making a lot of really bad decisions. A lot. What's weird is the older I get, the dumber I realize I am. It's true. We all do really stupid things in different areas of our life. Don't think I'm trying to beat up on anybody, except for the equity index pimps. I am trying to beat up on them and the Department of Insurance, State of Idaho. I am. Do your job. But other than that, and the fear mongers, I'm not beating up on anybody. I'm not beating up on you because you believe them. But we have to learn from this. What drives us to do these bad decisions is fear. That's what I'm driving at. I want you to understand. Sure, if you didn't invest here, if you missed this, you missed that, all those things are true. But until we understand the core of why we will not believe that the greatest wealth creator in all of history, buying and owning the greatest corporations in the world that require you to do nothing, you're not allowed to go manage anything. It's the greatest income story ever told, never told. Procter & Gamble, 1 cent per share in 1970, 70 cents per share per quarter today, 70-fold increase. Nothing on the planet's done that. We don't even look at it as an income story, do we? It's all squiggly lines, and we got to buy and sell, buy and sell, buy and sell. We don't. We've somehow taken this and turned any price movement into something we should watch. And we were just driven by this pulse of negativity that we can't even see. Dividend, I don't want to hear about dividend increase. I don't want to hear about the balance sheets of corporate America or corporate world. Don't care. You're forgetting about QE and you're forgetting about, okay, I know, none of those profits are real. None of those dollars are real. Only gold is real or whatever it is people are making up. And we've missed the story. This isn't a special time. Let me just tell you about a time when I started in this industry, $800 an ounce for gold. Ironically, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was also at 800 in 1980. Gold is a whopping 1,300 now. Whew, wow, what a skyrocketing number that is. I think that's probably 0.5% per year compounded, something magnificent like that. Not including trading costs. The Dow Jones Industrial Average just crossed, yes, not 20,000, not 25, 26. During that time, people were dumb enough to hold it through a tech bubble, a stock market crash of 25% in a day, a mini crash, multiple 20% or more bear markets, bird flu, Asian flu, currency crises, left, right, center, and two 50% market corrections. Two! And we're at 26. Why we buy the fear is something irrational. It is. We somehow get plugged in and we focus on what's wrong. We do. We have to. I don't have any other explanation. I don't think there is one. How smart people cannot just simply accept the greatest wealth creation tool for every generation. This isn't new. Everyone, all of that, all of this, fully liquid, low price, no management needed, no ongoing capital requirement. Put it in. That's it. Small dollars. You can get in. Don't give me this. It's only for the wealthy. You know what? Just shut up. Go ahead and just be a far lefty. That all the rich people are bad. The stock market, it doesn't matter. All that. Fine. That's your belief. That's your belief. But you're wrong. $50 a month, you're in. Does that sound like something only for the elite? It doesn't to me either. It's how people like me and you, with no money, put a couple bucks away and became financially independent. That's how. That's how that works. Because it does work. And we somehow, every little fearful thing that comes along, we go, oh, this is going to upset the whole thing. We put so much weight in that fear of a price movement that it outweighs this mountain of amazement. Fear. So when we talk about things like get out of the way of yourself, stop reading financial pornography, stop listening to nonsense, don't do it. It strikes fear. It keeps you from producing your own self-sufficiency. And it isn't fun to live in fear, is it? Does this seem fun? Does this seem good? Does it seem good to like always be a loser no matter what you do because you're trying to get in, to get out? Oh my gosh, I missed a bit. No. Isn't it better to like hang with your grandkids? Sit down with your girlfriend, watch a movie, go out to dinner. No, I want to fuss over money. That's not fun, especially when it leads to toxic behavior. This is really important. And I don't know, and maybe you have a better idea why we fall into this trap. Because it's the easiest thing in the whole wide world to buy and own the greatest corporations in the world. And it requires you to do nothing. But we don't do it. I think it's fear. And I think it's overinformation. We just overload our brains with all of these fearful data points. And it sounds logical sometimes. The market's too high. And the too high, what goes up must come down. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, you're right. It'll go up some days, down others. Two-thirds of the days are up. Two-thirds of the weeks are up. Two-thirds of the months are up. Two-thirds of the years are up. And 95% of the five-year periods are up. And 100% of the 30-year periods are up. Huh? What? Really? Yep. In the long run, we always win. If you don't trade in fear. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I'd like to hear from you. I really would. I mean, do you want to talk about this stuff? Do you want to talk about, you know, just data points in the market? I need to know what you want to talk about, what questions you have. What does this bring up in your mind? What have you done right or wrong? And if you prefer email, that's fine. It's dave@petzofinancial.net. We got to take a break for Fox News. Please do ring us up, 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. Again, if you prefer email, if we can, we always take callers first. So if you really want to make sure you get your question answered, give us a call right now as we're winding. Well, we've got time. We have plenty of time left today. So give us a call. And let's go to Mike in Gooding. Mike, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, sir.
Question, at the risk of displaying my ignorance on the radio, I do not understand why, when you are paid a dividend from a mutual fund, why the price of that mutual fund decreases.
Excellent.
Because if you buy a fund at $10 and they pay you a $1 dividend, why does the price go down to $9? Because in the end, you still have the same amount of value there. You didn't make any money.
Correct. That's correct. You still have the same value. And I'll explain. First of all, I appreciate it, you calling in, because every week for 30 years, I've exposed my ignorance on the radio. So here's the deal.
You get paid to do that.
Here's the deal. Yeah, I get a great salary here, don't I, Austin? Okay. So anyway, Mike, here's the deal. All right. So let's use the exact example you just did. $10 per share, and we go what's called X dividend. Okay. That means that everybody that is on record of having that fund on that day, okay, will now receive. That's called the record date. The next day is X of the dividend, meaning the dividend is gone. And that's when the price drops, in your example, from 10 with a dollar out to 9. Why? So let's take two examples. Number one is, let's say I take my dividend in cash, right? This is what I live on every year. Whatever it earns, I want to take out and I want to go play with, okay? So what's going to happen is you have, let's just say, 10,000 shares of this fund. And that's what you have. It doesn't matter. 1,000 shares, it doesn't matter. You still have that 1,000 shares, right? It's the same amount of shares. But what they also did was they sent you out of the fund assets $1 per share. And they sent it to your bank. It's no longer in the account for all of us. So let's just put this now in percentages to better understand. To think of it another way. We have $10 million in this fund, and 10% of it is being sent out to people. Let's say there's no investment reinvestment option, okay?
Okay.
So we're taking, and now at the end of the day, what's in that? No price movement in the market included, okay? We've sent everybody $1 million of the $10 million, correct?
Okay.
So our value in the fund is now?
$9 million.
Correct. So $9 million, and let's say there's 1 million shares in the fund. The day before, it was $10 million of value. We sent 1 million out. It's now 9 million, or $9 a share. You, okay, as a shareholder, have the same number of shares, and let's say you are the only shareholder. So you have $9 million in the fund, and you have 1 million in your bank. The same exact value as there was the day before. Okay?
So you make no money with a dividend.
Correct. Now, let's say you buy into the fund the next day and you go, whoa, wait a minute, man. I just missed out on 10% dividend. No, you really didn't. That was paid to the people who were of record. Now you're buying in for the appropriate price of the fund, $9 per share or $9 million. That's all the money that's in the fund in our example. Now, let's take the reinvestment option, which most people do, at least with capital gains or large distributions, right? Okay. You start off that day, same thing, 10% distribution. The value of the fund drops by that, but you buy more shares at $9 a share, so your value is the same. The paying of a dividend does not matter. That's earned in the fund, and it does reflect itself all through the year. Let's say the during that year, the fund price went from $9 on up to $10. Okay? Because the market rose, you got some dividends, you got 3, 4% of dividends in. That increases your net asset value until it's distributed.
Right.
So it is increasing because of the dividends on the net asset value. So if you decide in November, before the December distribution, I want out, you don't have to wait for the dividend. You've already earned it. Earned it in the price appreciation of the fund because the fund holds it. So people can come and go any day, and they're being treated completely fairly.
Okay.
And that's why go ahead.
If you do not reinvest your dividend from a given fund, then the amount of principal in that fund just gradually decreases over time if there's no market appreciation.
Correct. That's correct. Now, what will happen, though, let's rephrase that. Let's suppose all stocks everywhere, you just buy like the S&P 500. You've heard me use this example before. And all you did was take out the dividends. You always left it in there. Okay. And there was no capital gains because the market never moved anywhere. That's absurd, but let's pretend it never went up, okay?
Okay.
So you had no capital gains distributions. All you ever took was the dividend. Then you would absolutely have the exact same amount of money because you're taking the dividend all the time. And, yes, the price will rise as the dividends build up. Then they distribute. It drops back, goes up, drops back, goes up, just because of the dividend. No price movement.
Okay.
So the dividends, you would still have return from your dividends in the example I'm giving if you took them out. If you compound them, then it's obviously a different story. You build wealth that way. So if you're pulling the income out to live on, which is what a lot of people do, obviously in retirement, then you would have the capital gains are what you're talking about. If you distribute out capital gains all the time, you actually could end up with a, quotes, loss. Because of capital gains distributions being so large and you're taking dividends and capital gains. But that doesn't matter because they're in your pocket. That's all right.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike, and you have a great day. Thanks for the call.
You too.
Bye-bye. And our number is 580-KIDO. We've got to take one quick break here. Our final break. Dean, you hang in there. And we do have three lines available, 580-KIDO. Here's the deal also. If you don't like the explanation, if it didn't sound clear, let me know. We'll try this again on what dividends capital gains do to the price per share of both stocks and mutual funds. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-KIDO. Let's jump on the phones. Dean, thanks for holding. You go ahead, please. Dean,
yeah,
are you there?
Good to talk to you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go right ahead.
I just got a quick comment you might want to look on to. I don't know if you YouTube much, but the day after the election, there was a guy on YouTube. His name's Henry Davis. It's only about 56 seconds long, but he puts the whole thing into perspective in 56 seconds, and he was dead spot on. And so Henry Davis, it's worth looking at.
I'll do that. That's a great tip. You know, is on the contrast, we hear all the time about, I think it's a New York Times guy came out and said, you know, in his top 10 list or whatever, with Trump elected, the market would tank and never recover.
Yeah, I was going to mention that guy, too. He was on Tucker Carlson saying he was pulling all of his money out of his retirement and taking his kids, all of their money out of the market. And, Jay, what a clown.
What a clown is right. And on top of that, though, we have to learn the lessons of that, right? Both sides.
Right.
Both sides. Politics is not business. It affects it.
Right.
But it isn't the determining factor, and we've got to get smart about that and not let politics ruin our investment plans. But thanks for the tip, Dean. I'll look for Henry Davis.
And keep up the good work, bud.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thanks for your call today.
All right.
Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye.
And let's go ahead and go to Craig. Craig, thanks for calling. Thanks for calling back, Craig. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, Dave. I got a simple question. I guess it's simple.
Yep.
My wife and I both have a couple of Roths that we don't need right now, but I'm interested in what I should do. We have all of our money in those Roths tied up in Berkshire Hathaway.
Wow. Congratulations. You've done well.
Well, we have, but I just don't know. I have some worries what's going to happen when Warren Buffett leaves. You think it's an idea to watch and see what happens and put stops on them so if it starts to drop, or do you think it's going to, you know, and another question I have with him, in your opinion, do you think once he's gone they will start paying dividends? They have so much hoarded cash that it just kind of bothers me they're not paying it now. But.
Yeah, good questions all along. Let's go with, first of all, within the Roth, you don't have any tax consequences to diversify. Now, I'm assuming you have the B shares, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I wish I had A.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The same number of A, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Exactly. But you do. It's the same investment, but, you know, obviously it's fractional. So what I would do with that is instead of having all of it in there, why don't you just, it's not an all or none thing. Sell some and diversify to something else. Okay. That'll take care of number one problem, which is, hey, I got it all on this one. Don't make an all or none decision because that just sets you up for, you know, hey, I'm smarter than everybody in the world, or, and we all know what happens with arrogance, that breeds the next part of this, which is a not good end result. So just kind of, it's kind of like when my Apple went up, okay? That's great. Uh-huh. I picked Apple. Goody, goody gumdrops. But it became too large a part of my portfolio. So I didn't go, I still like Apple, so I'm not going to sell any. I said, I still like Apple, and I need to sell some. So I did. That doesn't make me wrong. It's how you manage and continue to diversify. So that's what I would do, is sell some, and it takes care of the problem. But great question on stops. You can't really stop out. Here's the problem with the stop, okay? I want to make sure you understand that. And I want to take time. I think we ought to take a whole segment on this sometime, but let's just take a minute here to explain why a stop isn't some magic answer. Should I put a stop, let's just say, at 150 on this, right? Okay, on Berkshire B, right?
Right.
So let's say I want it out at 150. Warren Buffett passes away. And the stock goes, whoa, stop, boom, straight down, okay? And let's say it was at 160. I'm just picking numbers, okay? So 160, and we put a stop at 150 because I don't want to take that chance. Where do you think you get to sell? Do you get to sell at 150 because you put a stop on it?
I don't know.
No, so. You don't. It's not possible. What happens is you do not lock in a right to sell. Now, let's say you just have a stop at 150, no limit on it. If you said, I want 150 or better, or I'm not selling, then you didn't sell it as it opens at 130. If you set it up for a stop at 150 or 155 or 145, whatever the number is, what you've done is you and all the people with stops at those numbers, those are now market orders to sell. So the market now has millions of shares to deal with as a sell at the best executed price you can find, which means they got to find millions of shares on the buy side, and those people are sitting back going, I'll give you 120, 125. And guess what execution you get? The worst execution of the entire day, unless there's more bad news later. Because what I'm saying is that you have an overwhelming number of stop orders hitting the market, and you're going to execute at a terrible price. It doesn't get you that price. Or you say, I want 150 or better. That's fine if you're leaving town or something, okay? But that means it didn't sell either because it opened at 130. You still have an order to sell at 150. You didn't sell anything. That's important because they always talk about these stops. I hear it all the time. It's important we understand this is not a magic way to make sure you don't lose money. Finally, on the dividend, I wouldn't be surprised at all, Craig, that they start paying a dividend. Why wouldn't they? It's just a different way he's done it. But from a tax standpoint, he's done it brilliantly, especially with the B shares, because you're not selling the one share. You're not selling this huge hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of stock, right? At one time to sell one share. You're selling one piece, and it's a capital gains treatment. Doesn't matter to you in your Roth IRA. I totally get it. But for people on a non-qualified basis, it did matter because there wasn't a dividend. And if you just were accumulating wealth, which he did a very good job of, you did it tax deferred. Maybe tax free if you die with it.
Well,
so there are companies that make that decision not to pay dividends for that reason. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, I understand what you're saying with the people that are, you know, they don't want to pay all the capital gains or whatever. But I just don't understand a company that has that much hoarded money.
And why they don't pay some out. I know.
Yeah.
They might. And even in Warren's time, they might do that. But he likes to have lots of opportunities to buy companies. Hey, Craig, thank you.
Right.
I'm so sorry, but we're out of time today, okay?
Okay.
Thanks,
my
friend, for calling. I appreciate it. You have a good weekend.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Thanks. All right, we got to get out of here. And again, I think we've got to analyze our own fear and why we take these temporary movements and turn them into mountains of worry. Why?